Well, hello and welcome to the very first Swanner and Judd. My name is Tom Swanner.
And this is Brian Judd. Very excited to be here.
Yeah, now Brian and I have been reviewing movies for about, what is it, 10 years now?
Yeah, I think so. You keep track of all that stuff.
Yeah, it's been 10 years, believe me. yeah, our first movie was that Katie Holmes president daughter movie that I can't remember the name of ever.
That had Michael Keaton in it too, I think.
Yeah, I think he was the president. And, well, they haven't got much better since then. You know, if you think about it, that was probably one of the better ones we saw in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm joking. It wasn't.
I was going to say over 10 years, we have a surprisingly small amount of memorable movies.
Well, you know, and I was in the car. I do a lot of talking in my car to myself, which is kind of creepy. But I did count out that we do about 120 movies a year. Most of those we see in theaters. So we've seen, like, what, 1,200 movies.
And I can remember about 5 of them.
I know, and they were the last 5 that you saw, which is the really sad part. Yeah, the way Brian and I got started in this was I'd been doing some writing for some different papers, doing movie reviews, and then this new paper opened up here in town in Sacramento, and they said, well, we really like your movie reviews, but we want somebody who likes, you know, movies that everybody likes. For some reason, they had this idea that I only liked artsy-fartsy kind of movies that you'd see at you know, plays in one theater in town, but that's not me. That's actually more so Brian.
Right,
but
that's more me.
But they bring Brian in because he likes those action movies with Sylvester Stallone and with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He likes a real crowd-pleaser movie, which is totally not true.
No, it's
completely opposite, but it was kind of funny, and it's worked out since.
It has.
The reason why we're starting here is we've been here for 10 years, so we're going to start in January of 2014, and we're going to go week to week. Now, normally we would go week to week, but January is so filled with crap that we really can't. For instance, the 3rd of January, the first movie that opened up is Paranormal Activity 5, The Marked Ones. I think The Marked Ones. And Paramount decided that they didn't want us to see the movie. Basically, you know, there could be a lot of reasons, but usually the reason is they want to make sure they have a really good opening weekend, because once people find out how crappy the movie is, no one will go see it. So,
they don't want critics to taint it.
Right, and that's just an assumption. We're just assuming that's what it is, because we really don't know what's in their heads. But, you know, when somebody says, oh, you can't come to the party, they either don't like you or they don't want you to see what their house looks like.
Or in the case of our friends, we don't want them getting drunk and falling in the pool.
Oh, my God, it's so true. So the very first week of our show, we weren't able to record. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you 2 Januaries. We're going to give you the first half of January and the second half of January, because it's about what we would normally see in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
There's not much. So we're going to start out our very first podcast review with The Legend of Hercules.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Now, let me give you a little idea about The Legend of Hercules. And like I said, January, I didn't really tell you, January is the worst month for movies.
Yes, it's normally the dumping month, as we call it. It's when the studios try and get rid of all their trash.
What they want to do is they spent too much money to just allow it to go to video. So what they want to do is they want to get some theatrical exposure so that when it goes to video, people go, well, this came out of theaters, let's get more. You know, whether it's a rental store, which there aren't many left, but, you know, the Redbox, however people view their movies, they're more likely to see a movie that was at the theater than they would if it wasn't. So that is where January has come in. And so Legend of Hercules is the perfect example of a crappy movie in January. I kind of just sold the movie there, didn't I? I mean, I completely they're sitting there going, well, might as well move on since we know you think it's crappy. But in this case,
well, then they won't hear the jokes.
This is all about
the jokes, folks. We're not serious about this.
We're comical, but we are serious movie reviewers. We are.
You know. Yeah, I guess. Well, yeah. You are.
Oh,
I'm the pretty face.
Oh, we're in trouble. We're in deep, deep trouble. So anyway, basically, the Legend of Hercules, this latest Hercules is from Rennie Harlan, who is schlock director. So you can look up what he's done. You'll know most of it because you've changed the channel when it's on. So now he's this stars Cullen Lutz, who plays Kellen.
Kellen Lutz. That's from what he said. Well, I thought you said Cullen.
Oh, maybe I did.
But that's okay.
Yeah, from the Twilight movies he was in, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And he plays the son of Zeus. Now, my big question is, who still gives Rennie Harlan money to make movies anymore, especially as much money as it looks like this probably cost? I mean, it looked like it had some bucks thrown in there.
Yeah, yeah. The costumes were good, and the sets were okay. The special effects were, there was a weird lack of blood, though.
Oh no, that was, it was creepy, because you know we've gotten used to movies like 300 and movies or TV shows like Spartacus, where right. They're so bloody. I mean, both those entities, as the sword would go through and chop off the head, the blood would actually spray the camera.
Right, and this is actually Kellen Lutz did one of my favorite bad movies, The Immortals.
Right.
Which had more blood than... Actually, it kind of makes up for The Legend of Hercules, then.
Well, and you know, he also had a really nice hat. in The Immortals, it was really nice. One thing that I remember we were talking about is how it was a lot of beefcake in this. But yes. Then, Harlan had just done... Uh-oh, sorry. Oops, okay. Harlan had just done the Covenant...
The movie Covenant,
and that had quite a bit of beefcake.
Yes,
in it
I remember that. Yeah,
because I remember thinking that this movie looks like it's been directed by Joel Schumacher.
Right.
Because he has a tendency to really make hot movies with
homoerotic. He pumps the homoerotic overtones.
Yeah, if you remember, Joel Schumacher was the one that had the big
nipples on the bat suit.
Yes, exactly, and it had a big cod piece too, which got actually more noticed than the movie did. But the reason why this was so bloodless is because the studio was trying really hard to get that PG-13. Did you use fart?
No, it's my water.
Okay, thank God. The studio is looking for the PG-13. Rating, and it kind of was sad because this movie could have been good had they
it's gory or Kellen Lutz. Had no chance of being good.
Come on, it could have been could have been fun, campy.
That's true.
Because they could have let him be Hercules, and everybody around him would be going, "Oh God, what a schmuck!" You know,
right?
Or it could have also been just very, very bloody to the point of where you really didn't care what the storyline was, which was very involved. It was just like, really, this is much more storyline than Hercules is going to be, and then it's not bad enough. They got another Hercules coming out this summer.
Right.
With The Rock in it. It's like, I don't understand why studios do this, but I guess it's what they do.
Well, there's Pompeii that we saw later in the year, which is another sword and sandal type of movie. So we've seen a lot of that stuff. And even Noah handled or carried that kind of tone to it in areas. So I don't know, maybe it's the next big thing.
Yeah.
Is these gladiator movies. I don't know.
Right. Maybe it's just it's coming back into style. I don't know. But I'm kind of tired of them.
I agree.
Yeah. And ultimately, we gave this movie, I gave it a half a star, and Brian gave it no stars. So I'm surprised you actually sat through it, honestly.
Yeah, it did have Kellen Lutz. If nothing, he is something to look at.
Right. Okay.
So.
Yes. Okay. Anyway, our next movie was Jack Ryan. Let me get up to Jack Ryan so I can give you an introduction to that. Where the hell is that?
Well, that was Chris Pine, and he was reintroducing the Jack Ryan character from
Right, from the Tom Clancy novels. And basically, this was an original version of Jack Ryan. They weren't going to go back to the Hunt for Red October or any of those stories. They really wanted to give him an everyman, basically, everyman accountant.
Hardly an everyman accountant.
So they could actually start pumping these out. And I don't know who he's got for an agent, but he's playing Captain Kirk. So as long as they'll carry those things through, if this Jack Ryan thing actually works and they decide to move it on, I think that we know who the next Indiana Jones is going to be. And actually, I think he'd probably be pretty good. Well, they were talking about Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, he's kind of got that swarthy kind of. He's got good 5 o'clock shadow.
Okay, I guess that would work. But so with this Jack Ryan, basically, what happens is, his helicopter was shot down.
Yes,
and then Jack, he has the cojones to pull two of his fellow soldiers out of the wreckage while unable to feel his legs because he's got a broken back, which I thought was very impressive.
That was amazing. Amazing.
And after extensive physical therapy, learning to walk again, Jack is recruited by the CIA to trace funds and transactions that might be used to fund terrorist attacks against the United States.
Thrilling. Yes. Thrilling. He's watching money.
Yes. Now, I did want to mention that besides Chris Pine, it's also Keira Knightley, Kevin Costner, and Kenneth Branagh, who plays the villain in this, who also served as director.
That's right.
Yeah, and the funny thing about this was, as well as it was directed, I thought that Kenneth Branagh's, his villain was, I liked his villain, but it was no Bond villain.
That's the thing, is that it felt like he was going for a Bond villain.
Really? I didn't think he was. I thought he was going away
from it. See, I thought he was. That's what it felt like, but he was just not succeeding at it. That's the vibe I got.
Okay, maybe that's what it is. It was just, I don't mind them being okay in the moment, but then I want them to go, like, apeshit crazy mad, weird.
Yeah. The reason I think I felt the whole Bond villain thing is because, didn't he have like an inhaler, or he had some sort of physical? He was dying. He was sick.
He was sick. He was full of cancer.
And Bond villains are usually, there's something physically wrong with them. They're not the healthiest people.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I was getting the whole Bond thing from. But again, it's just he just did not succeed at bringing that kind of malice across. Right.
It was just a very weak villain. Yeah. And I think that, even though I think they were trying something a little different with Jack Ryan, that he was going to be more of an everyman, it was just the villain doesn't have to be as well. The villain needs to be crazy.
Well,
enough,
yeah.
Because it's world dominance. You can't do it talking softly to Keira Knightley in a bar.
Yeah. Yeah. So if your action star isn't going to be keeping people's attention, you've got to have a villain that does.
Sure, exactly. So that was, and other than that, I did like the movie. I thought the movie was, it was pretty fun. It moved well. It was short, which was good. It was nice seeing Keira Knightley actually play something that wasn't either an heiress or a swashbuckler. Because usually she doesn't get out of that, and here she's the girlfriend, fiance, or whatever she's supposed to be. But she got her hands dirty, and I appreciated that. Actually, I didn't realize it was her until I read the material on it.
I always think she's Natalie Portman. So,
well, it's good for her. She's not. So on that one, you gave it 2.5 stars. I gave it 3.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't a bad reboot. It was just. It wasn't. It was very safe.
Well, yeah, and it
was
almost
the best way to say.
Yeah, it almost felt like a really good TV movie.
Yeah,
it didn't have. And I think that if it does, if it did well enough for them to do more, there'll be more budget, which will be make it a bigger movie. And I think it was just very low, just a smaller, spy movie.
Well, they were just testing the water, and it feels like that.
Yeah, that exactly. That's exactly where I was going with that. Yes. So we'll see. I have not heard if there will be a new Jack Ryan or not, but we'll see. The next movie, we actually saw this one on a Saturday morning.
It's with children.
Yes. It follows a group of rodents that live in a park after
there you go.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's I was getting there. Okay, it's the Nut Job. It follows a group of rodents who live in this park, and after their nut tree is destroyed, they decide to rob the Nut Hut, a business right off the park. While that's going on, there's also actual human villains who were trying to rob the bank they own the Nut House or the Nut Hut, and they're trying to drill through the wall to get to the safe to rob the bank.
Oh yeah, this thing was just jam packed full of story.
What was there, like 84 characters in a children's movie?
Yeah,
it was a lot. I think you counted. See if you have that down here. I think you said there were like 29 characters.
Yeah, huge amount of characters, a huge amount of plot, because you had the squirrels trying to replenish their nut supply. You had the bad guys breaking into the bank. You had the bad raccoon trying to kill off the good guy squirrel.
Who was a clumsy, he was the Inspector Clouseau kind of squirrel. Yeah. He wanted to live his own life, but everything he did ended in disaster.
It was just a mess. It was a total mess.
Yeah, and then I fell asleep, and I don't know what happened. I woke
Nothing
up sometime,
happened.
Yeah, okay. I know that the bad guys got caught, and there was a dog. There was a dog there, and I don't know what that was about. Oh, maybe that was that dog.
Yeah.
No, but there was a... I just remember being so confused when I would, like, wake up from sleeping and go, oh, okay, this still sucks, and fall back asleep. I got at least a good hour and 20 on this one, and I think it was 90
the
minutes
The movie
long.
Was only an hour and 20 minutes
oh,
long.
Man. Oh, so. That explains it. It was so boring. Usually, they do a lot of children's movies on Saturday mornings for us with children, and sometimes I'm a little sleepy during these things. It just depends on the movie. You know, if it's the Muppets, I'm not, and if it's the Nut Job, I am.
I'm a huge fan of animation, so I managed to stay awake mm-hmm. throughout the whole thing, but I did not enjoy it at all. I mean, yeah. it was horrible.
And it had a really good cast. It was Will Arnett, it was Brandon Fraser, Liam Neeson, Katherine Heigl, Maya Rudolph, and Jeff Dunham, and there was even... you said that if it had Brooke Shields, it would have everyone from the Circus of the Stars. I shouldn't tell you that when you're drinking. But it was just a mess. And the worst part is that opening weekend was decent for them. They actually did a real nice opening weekend. And by Monday, they were already greenlighting Nut Job 2.
Ugh.
Yeah,
of course.
Brian gave it no stars, and I gave it 5 Z's because I slept through it. And then let's see, the last movie that we're going to be talking about with this one is called A Ride Along. I figured that Brad would have liked that.
That's my dog Brad in the background.
Yeah.
So for anyone who hears that,
yeah. Okay. This starred Kevin Hart, who has been peeking, you know, popping up in movies all over the place, along with, this one was, oh God, which one is this? This is Ice Cube?
Yeah.
Ice Cube, yes.
Yes.
So it's Kevin Hart and Ice Cube, and basically what's happening here is they are, Ice Cube is a detective. Kevin Hart is a security guard who wants to be a detective. His girlfriend is Ice Cube's sister.
Yeah.
And so... she says, you got to give him a chance. So he takes Kevin Hart along for a ride along for one day. And he tries to, you know, get him to leave his sister alone and leave his life. So, and then I know that there were bad guys and good guys, but it was, I really liked this movie. And if I remember right, you were,
it wasn't, it was okay. It was, I mean, it felt like a January buddy cop movie. I think when the second one comes out, which it will, they'll probably tighten up the script. And I think maybe that was probably the problem, was that the script just, it was a half-hearted effort. But I did like the way that they kept Kevin Hart contained, because he can get kind of carried away like Jim Carrey or Will Ferrell, but sure. They kept him contained. And
the nice thing about that was that when he was being irritating, Ice Cube looked as irritated as we were. and then he would just shut him down. And I think, if anything, that worked so well that that's what worked with me in the movie, because I can only take Kevin Hart's rants so long, and they were starting to do that in the film on a couple points where, you know, the director goes, hey, do one of your things, and of course he did, and then they finally just knocked it down and said, okay, now it's all action. And I thought it was a similar storyline to what we've seen many times, but I thought that I really liked the chemistry between the two guys. And after seeing Hercules and Nutjob, you know,
this was
like a Christmas release.
Oh yeah,
me. Yeah,
totally.
And actually, it's already coming out on video in April. So, you know, it's a really quick turnaround. Well, I guess maybe not.
I was gonna say, you know, I just kind of said that it felt like a January movie, and it really didn't feel like a January movie. It felt more like an April movie. And what I mean by that is, for people who don't know, is that, you know, as we get out of winter, as the studios have dumped their stuff, they start releasing better movies or testing better movies. And that's where Jack Ryan, I think, should have been maybe an April or May movie. And Ride Along could have also been an April or May
Absolutely.
Movie. And it would
yes.
have done just fine.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it, actually, they probably would have done better. Because I think audiences are kind of aware that January is that dump month. And of course, they also have peppered through all the Oscar late entries, the ones that, you know, came out on Christmas Day in New York and Los Angeles. Well, they start coming out on the 3rd, the 10th, the 17th of January. So they kind of take an audience away from these kind of movies anyway.
Right.
So yeah, I think it could have been a much bigger hit. But actually, this did like $120 million. Through its run. I gave it 3 stars because I really liked it. And Brian gave it 2, which, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. And that is the first half of January. So go ahead and mark that down. You know what, when it comes on to video, what not to see and what to see. And then Brian and I will be back on our next entry talking about the last half of January.
Yep.
Yeah, so, and it doesn't get much better, so be prepared. So I guess that's it. We will talk to you in the next one. We good?
Yep. Go ahead and hit pause or stop.
Got it. I hit pause.